Well, here it is, the middle of September, and here in Trabuco Canyon, we are enjoying very, very nice autumn weather. I thought it would be good for us today to consider a passage of Scripture that teaches us about God's provision during times of trouble and trial. Troubles and trials and difficulties and hardships and heartaches are common to us all. So this will be an important passage of Scripture to consider. If you have your Bible handy, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10, and we will consider the truth revealed in this passage. Now let us bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we seek your help today through the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit that we may understand and believe the truth we are going to read, and that the Holy Spirit will apply it to our hearts and bring comfort and peace and rest and confidence in your provision. Bless this passage today to everyone who listens to this message. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Now let's turn right to the text. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. In the previous six verses, Paul has been explaining, or at least speaking, of his experience of being caught up to the third heaven, where it was revealed to him truth that he could not relate to us. And in verse 7, he picks it up to say, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Now, this passage reveals to us God's provision during the time of trials. Now, trials of life are common to us all. We have experienced trials, tribulations, troubles in our lives, and we know of many, many families who have undergone the same. And at times when we were experiencing trouble, somehow it was made known to us that other families had far deeper troubles and trials than we had. But they're common to us all. So this message is meaningful to all who listen. The text here reveals a problem-solution situation. And many times we find this in the Scripture, that a passage of Scripture states a problem and then gives us the solution. And that's what we have in this text. Now let's approach it with a question. What does this passage teach us about dealing with trials? Let me repeat that. What does this passage or this text of Scripture teach us about dealing with trials? And there's some things that stand out very clearly, the first being this. This passage teaches us to accept God's grace as sufficient. Now we need to understand and think together about the term sufficient. And I suppose the most common term we would use to describe or define sufficient is the word enough. God is saying, my grace is enough for you. My grace is adequate for you. You're hurting. You've got a problem. My grace is enough and adequate for you. My grace is what is needed. My grace is what is satisfactory. Well, this is a statement of fact, a statement of comfort. Paul has prayed about this thorn in the flesh. And here is God's answer. My grace is sufficient for you. Now the call is to accept God's grace as sufficient. Now, what does the term God's grace mean in this context? It is not the grace that God gives for salvation. This is a text of Scripture written to Christians. Paul is a Christian. He's praying as a Christian. He's not praying for salvation. He is praying for his needs in his life. So this is grace for life. Grace for living in a world of difficulty and suffering. This is a message to Christians and for Christians. And so we could read it this way as God saying, my love is sufficient for you. My commitment to you is sufficient. God is for us, not against us. And we tend to think that in times of suffering, trouble, trial, difficulties, and tribulation, that God is against us. And somehow it's all for punishment. God is for us and not against us. The call, accept God's grace as sufficient. And do not look for escapisms. Do not think you can look elsewhere and find the comfort and peace and rest that is needed. Do not look elsewhere. Do not go to alcohol or drugs, or psychological gimmicks. Go to the Lord and His Word. And having prayed, accept God's Word. Accept God's grace. Accept God's love. Accept God's provision. And here it is. The problem Paul has it. The answer, God gave it. My grace is sufficient for you. Let's ask God to help us accept His grace as His provision. Now, another thing stands out in this passage for us. This passage teaches us, secondly, to depend upon God's power to sustain us. And sometimes we say, Lord, I just can't take any more. I just can't stand another day in this difficulty. And Paul speaks here of God's power. God's power is revealed through our weakness. Therefore, most gladly I boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, to us, there are many things that are impossible. We are in situations where we have absolutely no control. There's nothing we can do about it. But remember, the scripture says that with God, nothing is impossible. God's power is his ability to sustain us, his ability to hold us, his ability to take us through. It is God's power. It will never be our power. And so we do not rely on ourselves. We come to the Lord and depend upon his power to sustain us. Now, Paul has been given a problem. And he says that he prays about it three times, and I take this to be special times of prayer, where Paul may have been taken a day or a half a day when he just got away and spent time with the Lord and called upon the Lord. Three times I prayed about this thorn. Now, we don't know exactly what that was, but many would say it's an eyesight problem that was very troubling. And Paul will say, the great apostle, came to God in prayer on three occasions of intense prayer. And he was not relieved of the thorn. Now, there's a teaching today that it is God's will to heal us. God's will to keep us healthy. And if not, it's because we do not have faith enough. Also, there are those who say that it is God's purpose for us to be wealthy. And if we are not wealthy and financially prosperous, it's because we do not have faith. Now, that is a very, very cruel hoax put upon people by Christian leaders who use the scripture as a basis for obtaining money for their ministry. It is not God's will to heal us from our suffering, our difficulty, or our trial in the way we ask him to. It is his timing and it is his way. Now, did Paul get an answer to his prayers? Yes, he did. It was not the removal of the thorn. It was God's power revealed through our inabilities. And when we confess our inability and look to God's power to sustain us, that is his provision for us. So we accept God's grace as sufficient. And we depend upon God's power to sustain us. Now, thirdly, in this passage, we learn that it teaches us to be content with God's providence. Notice Paul's response. As he has stated, he has prayed, he has God's answer, and he says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In all of life, God is working His plan and His purpose in our life. And we learn from the scripture that His plan and purpose is for our good and for His glory. And Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible, even while we are suffering. And Romans 8:28 is usually read this way. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. A better reading is this. And we know that God works all things together for good. If you read it the other way, it could almost leave it up to chance, or think that something human is in control. No, things work together for good because God is working everything together for good. It is not a human cause. It is God's cause. And we are to be content with His providence, with whatever He provides, in whatever way He wants us to live this life. And His purpose is to cause us to grow spiritually. These trials and difficulties and hardships do not come by chance. They are not just happenings. They are by God's design to cause us to grow spiritually and to give us a testimony that through these times we are not buried in complaint and groaning in misery. We are rejoicing and have gladness during these times because we are accepting God's grace. We are depending upon His power, and we are content with His providence. God's purpose is to cause us to grow up and trust Him, and to live our life pleased with His providence. Now, along with this is God's purpose to bring us into closer relationship with Him. It's easy to get into a lifestyle of going along, in a sense, ignoring God. Things are going well. We can't think of a problem. And where is God? Well, He's not far off, but we think He is because we're not worshiping, we're not praying, we're not living close to Him. Trials awaken us to say, we need to live in close relationship with the Lord God. We need to come to Him to worship, to bow down before Him, and to rejoice in Him. This passage reminds me of Habakkuk chapter 3 in the last few verses, where the writer is saying that the fig trees are not blooming and the herds are not well and everything's gone wrong. And these were agricultural people. And the response is, although all this is happening, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Here are two key words: although and yet. Although I am in the midst of heavy trial and things are not working out well for me, apparently, yet I will rejoice. I will trust in the Lord. I will thank Him and I will serve Him. This is God's provision during our trials. A very clear passage, a very clear message. We must take heed to this God's truth. To accept His grace as sufficient. It isn't enough. It is enough. God's grace is enough. To depend upon God's power to sustain us. He will take us through. Even though there are trials, He will not forsake us. And to be content with God's providence, because He has a wonderful, great plan for our good and for His glory. Let's respond in rejoicing and thanksgiving and serving Him with all of our heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You do not leave us alone, but that You are in the midst of our life, no matter what the circumstances, and You are working to bring about our good and Your glory. For that, we simply bow and worship to give You thanks and praise, express our love for You. Bless this message to our hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit. In His name, amen.